At the heart of Buddhist cosmology is, therefore, not only the idea that there are multiple world systems, infinitely more than the grains of sand in the river Ganges, according to some texts, but also the idea that they are in a constant state of coming into being and passing away. This means that the universe has no absolute beginning. The questions this idea poses for science are fundamental. Was there one Big Bang, or were there many? Is there one universe, or are there many, or even an infinite number? Is the universe finite or infinite, as the Buddhists assert? Will our universe expand infinitely, or will its expansion slow down, even reverse, so that it ultimately ends in a big crunch? Is our universe part of an eternally reproducing cosmos? Scientists are debating these issues intensely. From the Buddhist point of view, there is this further question. Even if we grant that there was only one big cosmic bang, we can still ask, is this the origin of the entire universe, or does this mark only the origin of our particular universe system? So, a key question is whether the Big Bang, which according to modern cosmology is the beginning of our current world system, is really the beginning of everything. The idea that there is a single definite beginning is highly problematic. From the Buddhist perspective, if there is such an absolute beginning, logically speaking, this leaves only two options. One is theism, which proposes that the universe is created by an intelligence that is totally transcendent and therefore outside the laws of cause and effect. The second option is that the universe came into being from no cause at all. Buddhism rejects both these options. If the universe is created by a prior intelligence, the questions of the ontological status of such an intelligence and what kind of reality it is remain. The great logician and epistemologist Dharmakirti, 7th century CE, cogently presented the standard Buddhist critique of theism. In his classic Exposition of Valid Cognition, Dharmakirti takes to task some of the most influential proofs for the existence of the Creator, formulated by the theistic Indian philosophical schools. Briefly put, the arguments for theism run as follows. The worlds of both inner experience and external matter are created by a preceding intelligence. A, because like carpenter's tools, they operate in a successive sequence of orderliness. B, like artifacts such as vases, they have forms. And C, like the objects of everyday use, they possess causal efficacy. These arguments, I think, have a resemblance to a theistic argument in the Western philosophical tradition known as the argument from design. This argument takes the high degree of order that we perceive in nature as evidence of an intelligence which must have brought it into being. Just as one cannot conceive of a watch without a watchmaker, so it is difficult to conceive of an orderly universe without an intelligence behind it. The classical Indian philosophical schools that espouse a theistic understanding of the origin of the universe are as diverse as their counterparts in the West. One of the earliest is a branch of the Samkhya school, which upheld the view that the universe came into being through the creative interplay of what they call the primal substance, Prakrit and Ishvara, God. This is a sophisticated metaphysical theory grounded in the natural law of causality, explaining the divinity's role in terms of the more mysterious features of reality, such as creation, the purpose of existence, and other such matters. The crux of Dharmakirti's critique involves demonstrating a fundamental inconsistency he perceives in the theistic standpoint. He shows that the very endeavor of accounting for the origin of the universe in theistic terms is motivated by the principle of causality. Yet, in the final analysis, theism is forced to reject this principle. By positing an absolute beginning to the chain of causation, theists are implying that there can be something, at least one cause, which is itself outside the law of causality. This beginning, which is effectively the first cause, will itself be uncaused. This first cause will have to be an eternal and absolute principle. If so, how can one account for its capacity to produce things and events that are transient? Dharmakirti argues that no causal efficacy can be accorded to such a permanent principle. In essence, he's saying that the postulation of the first cause will have to be an arbitrary metaphysical hypothesis. It cannot be proven.